Everybody's so patient this morning. If you'll turn with me to Matthew 2. Verses 1 through 12. Last night, we had an awesome time. Great service. It was different gathering together in the evening, great fellowship, and we're kind of setting ourselves back and when Jesus was born and remembering and thinking about it at nighttime when he was born. And well, you know what? There's a day after. And that's where we want to pick up today. We want to pick up in Scripture after that glorious night. You know, when every one of us that has children know that the hard work begins the day after, when they're born. What I want to present today is that is when the spiritual battle really begins to rage. And let's look into that and see how that plays out and how it affects our life. So if you're there in Matthew 2, now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Gathering together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for this is what has been written by the prophet. And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah. For out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod secretly called the Magi and determined from them the exact time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child, and when you have found him, report back to me, so that I too may come and worship him." After hearing the king, they went their way, and the star which they had seen in the east went on before them, until it came and stood over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. After coming into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell to the ground and worshiped him. Then, opening their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod, the Magi left for their own country by another way. And we know as we read on that Herod was so incensed, he was so angry, he went out and killed all the baby boys under the age of two for the sole purpose of trying to get just that one baby boy, Jesus. That is evil incarnate working through a person, working through a human. And that is maybe a physical manifestation of this spiritual battle that's going on. We already know God has won the battle. He's won the war. But until that the manifestation of that comes about in our future, Satan is allowed a little bit of authority. He roams around seeking who he can destroy. And look how it started with this baby Jesus. And it occurred to me, every one of us, we all have a spiritual birth. That's being born again. We're birthed into the family, to the kingdom, the household of God. It's a spiritual birth. And after we're birthed again, we're rebirthed in Jesus, just like the spiritual battle raged when Jesus was born, it begins to rage when we're born again. Maybe you've seen that in your life. Do you perceive it? This spiritual battle that goes on, It's us sharing in the sufferings of Jesus. Just like Paul said that, boy, if I could just share in his sufferings and tribulations to really know Christ and what he went through and what this whole death, burial, and resurrection was about. When we're born again, most of us withstand persecution from family or friends. People that aren't born again, that we used to do the worldly things with, and we become born again, and we're separated out from them. They don't recognize that separation, that spiritual separation, because they aren't separated. And it's a spiritual thing that happens. So within them, they don't quite understand the spirit that's working in and through them, that is causing them to be at odds with us, because we now have a new spirit in us. And that is what's at war with each other. When we're born again, we often are shunned from the in crowd, the crowd that we used to hang with. They no longer really want us around. And when we're around, they don't really want to hear what we have to say. Or you notice you're not getting invited to the parties or the events much anymore. But that's because of this spiritual battle that's going on. There is a war over our soul between God and Satan. But never fear. When we surrender our lives to God through Jesus, the war is won. And we're still going to have some difficulty. Satan is continuing to try to tempt us and torture us. But he cannot win the battle over our soul. It's been won. And I know that this holiday time of Christmas Eve, is maybe one of the times during the year where this battle rages the greatest. How we celebrate this holiday, this Christmas, as I was sharing a little bit, Brandon, back, you know, in the early days, before I knew my wonderful wife, you know, I spent Christmas Eve and Christmas Day in a bar. I mean, how lonely is that? You want to be around people. You want to have that holiday feeling that you've seen on the movies, so you're in a bar. I mean, that is just the lost of the lost. And if you've done that, I'm not picking on you. I'm just saying I've been there. There is a better way. And last night and this morning, you've picked the better way. So upon Jesus' birth, his future was spoken of as it was present. Have you noticed that? We sing that song, Mary, Did You Know? You know, we know what Jesus' life was laid out to be, even when he was born. But Jesus' birth began something new, and it hasn't ended, and we haven't yet seen the final scene. There's more to come. Turn with me to Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10, verse 32. Are you there? But remember the former days when, after being enlightened, you endured a great conflict of sufferings, partly by being made a public spectacle through reproaches and tribulations, and partly by becoming sharers with those who were so treated. For you showed sympathy to the prisoners and accepted joyfully the seizure of your property, knowing that you have for yourselves a better possession and a lasting one. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. For yet in a very little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith, and if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith to the preserving of the soul. So Jesus inaugurated this new covenant, and he opened up a new way for us to approach God. And that was through this throne of grace. Sadly, many are blasé about that, not realizing what a miraculous thing that's been made available to us. Maybe because we didn't have to live in under the old covenant, under the law, we don't quite appreciate the simplicity and the value of this new and living way. When Jesus was born, it was this spiritually cataclysmic event. Paul is referring to the Christians in the first century. You know, when they became Christians, they suffered so much persecution, losing everything. And yet that still does go on. If you are a Christian in Africa or India, Indonesia, some of these places where there's Muslim majorities, and if you preach the gospel to a Muslim and they become a Christian, their decision is life-changing because their family will disown them. Their family even will seek to kill them, whether it be right away or later on. And they lose everything. I mean, we have it so easy here. But that's what Paul's referring to. There's so much that they went under when they became Christians, when they decided to follow Jesus. I think also one of the most important things that was given to them back then was that Jesus is returning. They saw Jesus depart, go to heaven. They had spent time with him. They physically knew him. And they were promised that he would return again. And we're living under that promise. We're living to a time much closer than they did where he will return. So as the scripture admonishes us, let us hold unswervingly to our hope. Press on and don't shrink back. I was reading some articles about this time during Christmas and going to church on Christmas Day and things like that. One internet commenter said, "When I was young, we didn't stay away from church because it was too conservative or too liberal. We stayed away because we didn't see church going as an important part of our lives as Christians. In truth, we were nominal Christians, but we would have sincerely denied it had we been asked. In part because so many other conservative people like us were only Christians or Christmas and Easter only attenders. And we got out of the habit of regular church going. Or rather, never took up the habit." An historian, Robert Louis Wilkins, wrote, "In my lifetime, we have witnessed the collapse of Christian civilization. At first, the process of disintegration was slow. It was gradual and persistent attrition. But today, it's moved into overdrive. And what is more troubling, it's become deliberate and intentional, not only promoted by the culture despisers of Christianity, but often aided and abetted by Christians themselves." So our admonition this morning is, don't shrink back. Don't let the world pressure you into staying in the world and not enjoying the spiritual things that we do. So I have said, I did one of my rare annual posts on Facebook, why it's important to come to church today on Sunday. I'm sure like 6 or 8 people saw it. But why was it more important for you to come today? It matters more than you can imagine. Yeah, it just sounds great getting up and standing in pajamas one day of the year and sitting around the fire and watching TV and just chilling out. I mean, it sounds great, you know, resting. But we're in this spiritual war that's going on. We're in this spiritual battle. And, you know, that's kind of what the devil wants us to do. And he doesn't have to start on Christmas Day. It can start any day of the year. And then if he can keep you that way the rest of the year, you know, what have we done to build God's kingdom and battle against Satan's kingdom? So I want to thank you for coming to church this Christmas Sunday. We all need it. We need that fellowship. And our kids and family and friends are watching what we do. You know, that person claims to be a Christian. How important is it to them, really? How important is it? Christianity isn't simply a matter of affirming some theological beliefs. It's actually a way of life. It's a way we live. It's a day in and day out. We're totally changed. We are a new creation. The other thing I see in this Christmas story is that family is made through birth. So Mary and Joseph had this baby boy, Jesus, and that created this family. They weren't just a couple. Now they were a family. And when you think about each of our individual lives and why we're here, we were spiritually born and we became part of a family. And now we're here participating in life with our family. This is our family, the good, the bad, the ugly, the troubling, the troublemaker, the helpers, everybody here. We're together as family. And yeah, you may get rubbed the wrong way one week, but just hang in there. You can't abandon your family. You stay in this family. I don't know. I think church maybe started in a barn. And I say, let's continue it on in the barn. As we were born again, as new people are born again, and the angels in heaven are rejoicing, this family of God keeps growing and growing and growing. Think about it. From God's perspective over time, you know, he's outside of time. But think about how that family has been growing over the centuries and the millennia. And when we get to heaven, how many people are going to be there? And that's going to all be just one big family. It's really hard to comprehend exactly what that's going to look like. But I want to say this by way of encouragement, is don't give up on your walk of faith while you're here. Just keep pressing on, because when we get to heaven, the amount of time that we spent here physically is going to disappear in our memory. It's going to seem like nothing. You know, 60, 70, 80, 100 years in light of eternity is nothing. So put that in perspective when you're going through life, and if you have difficult times, just put that in perspective. Family. We experience it together. We stand with one another against the onslaught of the world. So when we're here, we're to be encouraging one another. You may have had a tough week. Maybe you had a tough situation. Maybe you felt like the world was gaining ground on you. And you get here and you get encouraged and inspired. And we encourage one another to grow. And that's the purpose of this family. We said that this is kind of a spiritual war that's going on, and we're part of it. We're in the midst of it. And what are our weapons? Our weapons are goodness, kindness, joy, patience, peace, mercy. Those are our weapons. And we launch those through prayer. And let us not get carried away with the things of the world where we're shouting, yelling, threatening, accusing, pulling out our guns. And, you know, that's the ways of the world. Let us use our spiritual weapons. And why? We know how this battle ends, don't we? We know. We know. God wins. Satan is thrown into this pit for eternity. And we get to spend time together in that New Jerusalem for eternity. Streets of gold, mansions, things that the eye has not yet seen. And that's what we get to experience. Well, praise God. And let's gather around and pray for one another.